Well, most of us, I am sure, feel that time is a limitless resource. I will finish that book tomorrow. I will file my taxes tomorrow. I will play with my kids tomorrow. We might agree with the statement, there's always tomorrow for dreams to come true. We might even think that sounds biblical. It is not. It's from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Clarice sings it, that is correct. 200 points for Janine. The fact is that time on earth is finite. Perhaps at no other time has this truth been so easily understood. For we now are painfully aware that a microscopic virus invisible to the naked eye can take away years of tomorrows. That's why Paul's time with Felix is so relevant for us today. Felix thought he had all the time in the world when Paul entered his presence. But as Luke tells us, appearances can be deceiving. I want to look at this passage, this chapter, from two points. The first is the hearing. Luke relates to us the meat of this hearing. There is a prosecutor. His name is Tertullus. There is a defendant. His name is Paul. And how they handle the case is quite different. Tertullus, the district attorney, if you will, starts by trying to win the judge. He tries the person, not the case. And he says to Felix, "You mighty Felix, governor of Judea, you have blessed our nation with peace. You, Felix, mighty governor, your providence, your foresight has brought reformation that has been beneficial to our nation. You, most excellent Felix, we are grateful to you." What's interesting to me is that this Jewish leader, this spokesman for the Jewish leaders, the Sanhedrin, does not mention God and, in fact, gives all the glory that is due God to an earthly leader. Peace comes from our Heavenly Father. Provision comes from the foresight of God. And we ought to say that we are thankful to Him. So he spends most of his argument, 2.5 of the 4 verses that we have of him speaking are him flattering the judge. The remaining 1.5 offer the charges. And they're the same charges that we have seen in the book of Acts previously. Paul is a troublemaker. And literally, what Tertullus says is, Paul is a plague. He is an insidious virus that is attacking us. He's COVID-19, people. He's the ringleader of a cult. And he has desecrated the temple. But he offers no evidence of this. He says, if you simply examine these facts for yourself, you will come to the same conclusion we have. We have no witnesses. We have no markings. We have no bags. We have nothing other than the charges. He's a plague. He's a ringleader. He's a desecrator of the temple. Now, Paul, on the other hand, when he defends himself, he is not entering into flattery. He offers no flattery. He just simply says, you have been in charge for a while. You'll make a good judge. Here are the facts. I have been in Jerusalem for 12 days. All that they are saying has happened in the span of 2 weeks. I have associated with no one. When they seized me, I wasn't with anyone. I haven't been stirring up people in the temple or causing riots in the synagogue or rebellion in the streets. I am doing simply what God called me to do. The only reason I came back to Jerusalem was so that I could give the people of Jerusalem charitable gifts, alms, that the other churches that have been planted throughout Asia Minor have collected. I am here to help the people of Jerusalem, not to sway them. Ultimately, he says, my conscience is clear. He's the one that is mentioning God. He's the one that's mentioning the scriptures. He's the one that is saying, I have done nothing wrong. They have no one who says otherwise. They could call people from Asia Minor. They could call people from Jerusalem. And the very fact that no one is here speaks volumes. Paul then declares what the real issue is. I am here because the Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection, and I do. The case against Paul is simple. It's the leaders of the synagogue, the leaders of the temple, against him. Is he a troublemaker? Is he a ringleader? Did he desecrate the temple? Or was he there just doing what God called him to do? Actually, the fact is that for the most part, we have verses 1 through 23. 1 through 21 is the court case. One guy saying, you're so great. This man is terrible. Just take my word for it. And Paul saying, just look at the facts. I have been here 2 weeks. I brought aid. I made offerings. I went through the purification ritual. And they grabbed me anyway. The important part of this chapter, though, is not the court trial. The important aspect of this passage is what follows. Luke reveals to us not only the meat of the hearing, but he reveals to us the heart of the hearer. As we look at this passage, verse 22, "Then Felix, who was well acquainted with the way, adjourned the proceedings. When Lysias, the commander, comes, he said, 'I will decide your case.' And he ordered a centurion to keep Paul under guard, but to give him some freedom, permit his friends to take care of his needs." When the commander gets here, we'll address this. By all accounts, the commander never comes. It's 2 years later before anyone hears the case again. But verses 24 to 27 reveal something to us. It reveals Paul's and Felix's relationship. And the first part of that is discussion. Verse 24. "Several days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewess. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Christ Jesus." Sends for Paul, as we've heard in the previous verses. Felix was quite familiar with the way. He was quite familiar with Christ and the followers of Christ. And he had been intrigued by the conversation. Paul talked to him about faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 25 says he talked about righteousness, doing the right thing, that the wages of sin is death, that there is no one righteous but Christ alone. Paul talked about self-control, that when we submit ourselves to Christ, when we call upon Him as Lord of our lives, the gift of God is eternal life. He talked about the judgment to come, that everyone, there is a resurrection for both the righteous and the wicked, the righteous and the unrighteous. Everyone stands before God. Some graciously receive an eternal reward, and some justly receive eternal condemnation. Felix is convinced that he would have the opportunity, as we conclude verse 24 and 25, that he would hear from Paul again and again and again and again. And many listen to our teaching, listen to the scriptures, listen to what we as Christians have to say, sometimes with amused curiosity, but often with no urgency. Got all the time in the world. I could hear this every day. And we need to be concerned when people only want to discuss. We'll talk about this again. The second thing that we see is verse 25, that Felix is filled with dread. As Paul discoursed on righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, "That's enough for now." The past of Felix and Drusilla was a tale of immorality. Drusilla, who was Herod Agrippa's daughter and Herod Agrippa II's sister, high up in the food chain, well connected. She is, when Paul comes to Caesarea, about 20 years old. And she is now on her second marriage. Scholars believe that Felix, wanting to move up the food chain, convinced her to leave her husband, which would have been scandalous at the time, and to marry him. Felix was likewise undisciplined. Drusilla is his third of five wives. After he gets booted out of Caesarea, it's said that he lost contact with Drusilla. But Felix, older man, young wife, convinced to have an affair, a broken marriage. They had baggage and dirty clothes, dirty laundry to spare. And when Paul talks about righteousness, and when he talks about self-control, and when he talks about judgment, Felix says, wait a minute, you're hitting too close to where I'm tender. And this has to stop. And the fact is that many that we communicate with, many that we interact with, have baggage that they are unwilling to unpack. And if we get too close to a tender spot, they will clam up. Oh, that's enough. We'll talk about this another time. Discussion. Dread. Verse 26 tells us about distraction. At the same time, it says in verse 26, Felix was hoping that Paul would offer him a bribe. So he sent for him frequently and talked with him. Would not have been an uncommon situation, especially the fact that he had said, you can have your own people serve you and help you and care for you. That he might have had resources. After all, he was a Roman citizen. Probably had property somewhere. Maybe. But a deeper thought is that Felix might have been thinking, if Paul can be broken, his message can be ignored. Maybe he'll just give up. Maybe he will exercise a little bit of indulgence. And that at that point, I can wiggle out. Well, if Paul can sell himself out for his own safety, I don't have anything to worry about. And honestly, when we talk to people, they are looking for a way to compromise. They are hoping that we will compromise. They are distracted by the things of this world and want us to be distracted by them as well. The last thing, delay, verse 27. When 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. But because Felix wanted to grant a favor to the Jews, he left Paul in prison. 2 years of conversation without conversion. Ultimately, spiritual delay results in spiritual death. And by all accounts, Felix, who had Paul as a confidant and friend, a Bible study leader for 2 years, faced a Christless eternity because he just couldn't commit. And those we reach who delay likewise face the judgment to come. Paul is brought before Felix so that the governor can declare that Christ is Lord and Savior. But Felix wouldn't do it. Hesitation took hold of his heart. Our sermon in a sentence is this. When the conversation is about eternal life, a decision to delay is a decision to deny. For those listening to my words today, who are deciding that you need more discussion, or that you are ignoring your dread, or that you are hoping for distraction in order to delay, I urge you to commit to Christ. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. And for those of you listening this morning who are sharing your faith with others, who are still discussing or dreading or distracting so that they can delay, don't lose heart. The truth is, as Paul said, there is hope for those who clothe themselves in the righteousness of Christ. That hope is not available to those who, like Felix, face God while still on the fence. When our conversation is about eternal life, and I hope you're having conversations about eternal life, if you are delaying, you are in essence denying. And I urge you this morning, don't be like Felix. We'll talk about this again tomorrow. But tomorrow never came. Shall we pray?